Okay. So tonight we're discussing the second installment of the laws of Schita, of pressing or squeezing on Shabbos. So last week we discussed mostly the laws regarding food, fruit, vegetables, things like that, squeezing, you know, any sort of fruit juice or vegetable juice. And we said it's not so simple. You can't really do it unless you squeeze it onto food. That was a major heter for something that's never squeezed, you know, some sort of a fruit or something like that that's really never squeezed. It's very, very uncommon for it to be squeezed or pressed, so then we said that would be mutter. But again, nowadays, especially with all the, interesting types of juices that they have, it's almost hard to find such a thing. But theoretically, that would also be a heter. So this week I want to talk about other types of mefarik or dush. So the very interesting one is regarding nursing a baby. Okay, nursing a baby on Shabbos. Now, obviously, you're allowed to nurse a baby on Shabbos, right? A baby has to eat, and that's the way that it eats. But it's very interesting when we think about the issue. If you look at source number one, the Gemara tells us, Rav Nachman Bar Gurya ikla l'neherda. So Rav Nachman Bar Gurya went to Neherda, bo mine, and he asked the following question. Cholev mishum mai mechayev. So we know that you're chayev if a person milks, let's say milks an animal, milks a cow, so you're chayev on Shabbos, okay? But why are you chayev, right? He somehow knew that you were chayev. He had some sort of a tradition. He knew that you can't do that on Shabbos, you can't milk on Shabbos, but why are you chayev? For what are you chayev on Shabbos?
Is this Sarbalechayim?
Hold on, we'll get there. Also shoyel bei medrasha. So they went and he went and asked in the base medrash, Amrulei cholev chay mishum mefarik. So they answered him that it's the obligation of it's a chiyuv of mefarik, right? We learned last week that mefarik is a tolda of dush. Dush is threshing when you remove the kernel from the chaff, and mefarik is a tolda of dush. Last week we spoke about it in the context of fruit juices, where you're removing the juice from the fruit. So too here, you're removing the milk from the animal, you're removing the milk from the dadim of the animal, so therefore that's an obligation, you're chayv mishum mefarik. So you can't milk a cow on Shabbos, okay? Now, if you think about it, right, anatomically, it's pretty much the same for a human being to feed its young and an animal to feed its young. So it should come out according to that just like milking a cow is you're chayv on Shabbos, so too if a woman nurses their child, you're chayv on Shabbos. Now obviously that's ridiculous.
Who's chayv?
What?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. Who's chayv? Because who's doing the malacha, right? Is the child doing it or is the mother doing it? The mother's putting the child in the position to do the malacha, perhaps. And that gets into a whole discussion about, you know, you're not allowed to put children, even though, you know, sometimes very young children, if you see them doing a malacha, you don't necessarily have to stop them. If you see a 2-year-old who's, playing with muktzah on Shabbos or turning on the light, you know, you don't necessarily have to stop them on Shabbos, but you can't put a child in a situation where they're going to do an aveira. You can't enable the child to do an aveira on Shabbos. If they're doing it, you know, if they're a higil chinuch, if they're a child that understands a little bit what Shabbos is about, so of course you have to stop them. But if it's a little, very you know, very young child who doesn't really understand, so you don't, technically speaking, you don't have to stop them. It might be staring your Shabbos meal if, you know, with your guests, if the lights are going on and off, that's a different story. But in terms of pure halacha, you're not necessarily required to stop them. That's an interesting question. Now the question is, so why is it allowed? If it's mefarik, if really taking, right, just like taking the juice out of a fruit, if you're taking the milk out of the woman's body, so that's mefarik. So why is that not prohibited? So comes Rav Neuwirth in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchas on source number 2 and quotes from his Rebbe Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. When he wrote it, it was Shlita, but I put in Zatzal because now obviously it's posthumous. He writes, Ve'ot shamati mihagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, shemutel lahanik tinok. Of course, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, of course, right, this is obvious that you're allowed to nurse a child on Shabbos. Okay, but the question is why? It's obvious that it's allowed. That kind of a thing is obvious that it's allowed. The question is why? How are we to understand it? Dehoil v'kach derech achiloso. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, since that's the way that the child eats, right? The child eats through nursing. That's the way that the child eats. V'gam chashiv mishum kach ocha v'lo mashke. Now he throws in a halachic argument, which is a little bit beyond our purview, but he says in a certain Gemara in Eruvin, we actually treat a mother's milk as an ochel, as a food item, and not as a drink. Why? Because that's the entire sustenance of the child. It's not, the child's not having burgers and washing it down with milk, right? The child is just drinking the milk. That's all he's doing. He's just drinking his mother's milk. So therefore, that's considered an ochel. It's considered a food item, and not even a mashke, not even a liquid. So he says, because of that, since we take it so seriously, this is the way that he eats. This is the way a child eats, and it has halachic ramifications. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, lochei nikra b'shem achilas adam velo kemefarik. He says that's called eating. That's called achila. That's not called mefarik. Mefarik is when I do a malacha, when I do something that has nothing to do with eating. Right? I mean, it might be involved in the preparation for eating. But it's not the actual eating process. A person is allowed to eat on Shabbos. Of course you're allowed to eat. So just like an adult is allowed to eat on Shabbos, a child is allowed to eat on Shabbos. That's not called mefarik. So even though, you know, you think about it logically, it should be. Seems to be in the same category as mefarik. Right? But if that's the way the child eats, there's no melacha involved. Right? We know we have similar concepts throughout Hilchos Shabbos, that certain things that are derech achila, right, borer, if a person separates things, you know, while they're in, you know, you're eating watermelon and you have the seed in your mouth and you want to spit it out, that's not borer, right? Because Hashem didn't obligate you to swallow watermelon seeds on Shabbos, right? You're allowed to eat on Shabbos, and if it's derech achila that you eat and you spit out the seeds, so then that's okay, that's derech achila.
You're taking good from the bear anyway.
No, but here you're spitting the seed out.
But you're eating the good.
But the way that you're doing it is that you're spitting the bad out. So that's... But be it as it may, but that's the concept that Hashem allowed you to eat on Shabbos, the Torah allows a person to eat on Shabbos, and so too the Torah allows a child to eat on Shabbos. That's called his derech achila. That's not called a malacha. That's not called mefarik. So even though technically speaking, it seems to be the same, but it's not a violation of mefarik, obviously. Okay. Now the question is, what about expressing milk? Right. Sometimes a woman has to express milk for whatever reason. You know, a woman has excess milk, or she's working and she has to express the milk, or whatever the case might be. So can a woman express milk on Shabbos? Okay, without getting into the issue of electric pumps. Okay, because obviously electricity, that's a whole separate question. Manual pumps, right? You're using a manual pump. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So writes the Shulchan Aruch, it's a Sif in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 3, Lo sakel isha chalav midadeha l'socha kos o l'socha kedere v'sanik es bina. You're not allowed to express milk on Shabbos into a kli. Why? Because that's no longer derech achila. Right? We said, technically speaking, nursing should be mefarik, should be a violation of mefarik. The only heter for a child to nurse was because that's the way the child eats. A child is allowed to eat on Shabbos. But once the woman is expressing milk into whatever, into a bottle, into a bag, into whatever she's doing it into, right? Once you're expressing the milk, that's not the derech achila. You might be preparing for achila, but that's not the derech achila. So since that's not the derech achila, says the Shulchan Aruch, that's a violation of mefarik. So a woman can't express milk on Shabbos. The one heter, where a woman is allowed to, and again, I'm not talking about, there are some extenuating circumstances where a woman is in pain and she has infections and things like that. In those types of situations, you know, ask a shayla, I'm not talking about those particular situations. I'm talking about in general, a regular healthy woman, you know, nothing wrong, things like that. So writes the Shulchan Aruch, the one heter, interestingly, continuing in source 3, the second line there, Mutr le'isha lekaleach mehachalav kedei sheyochas atino kadad v'inak. Sometimes to express a little bit of milk into the child's mouth to just get the child to latch on, get the child to eat. Right? So that's, you're not expressing into a bottle, into a bag for later. You're expressing it for immediate use. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's okay. There's a whole discussion why exactly that is. You know, because again, you're expressing milk. But some, again, use the same logic, because there, it's also derech achila, that you're doing it, that's the way that the child eats. So you're getting him to eat, you know, getting her to eat, you're getting the baby to eat. But that's the normal derech achila. Some say it's also malacha shein etzricha legufa, you know, but it's not so clear in that case. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch does write, let's say a woman is in pain. I did put this in, I forgot. If a woman is in pain, right, and let's say she wants to express milk, not because she wants to store it or because whatever the case might be, but she's in pain, you know, it's going to alleviate her pain. So writes the Shulchan Aruch, v'chein hi ba'atzma yechola lahotzi biyada ha'cholav ha'metzayer osa. A woman is allowed to do it by hand, obviously, manually. She's allowed to remove the express the milk, which is causing her pain. And again, there the logic is because once she's in pain, she's like a chola. She's considered somebody who's sick. And since the iser over here is considered an iser derabanan, because it's a malacha shein etzricha legufa, in this case, the woman is doing it not because she needs the milk. She doesn't need the milk in this case. She wants to alleviate her own pain. So since she's alleviating her own pain, it's a malacha shein etzricha legufa. It's a malacha that's not being done for its normal purposes. It's not being done to extract the milk. You want the milk out. You don't care about the milk per se. You want the milk out. So in that kind of a case, since it's only derabanan, in a case where a woman is in pain, they didn't make the gzeira. They allowed her to express the milk in that kind of a case. The Mishnah Berurah does point out here also that there's one other condition, is that when the woman does it, let's say a woman is in pain and she wants to express her milk, she has to do it in a way where the milk is immediately going to be holech le'ibud, which means immediately it's going to be inedible. Okay, why? Because if let's say she's doing it into a bottle, right? So even if her intention is not to store it up, right, for her child to eat later, but at the same time, if the milk is usable, right, she's doing it into a bottle and the milk is usable, so then you can't call that a malacha shen etzricha lagufa, because the milk is totally fine and it's sitting there and it's ready to use. So therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah in source number 5, it has to be al ha'aretz. Either she has to do it directly onto the ground, or recommendations, you know, into the sink, or even just to put like a little dishwashing detergent into a bottle. You know, put a little bit of soap into a bottle, then immediately, as soon as the milk goes in there, it'll be disgusting. No child would ever drink that. So automatically, it disqualifies that milk, and that's considered ibud. The ein ze kiderach mefarik kaven sholich liibud. Once it's holich liibud, that's not mefarik. The reason why I press a fruit is to extract the juice, so I can use the juice. Not to make it unusable. Once I'm making something unusable, that's not the normal derech of mefarik. And furthermore, if the milk is holech le'ibud, if it's not usable, so then it's melacha shein etzricha legufa, because I don't need the milk per se. And therefore, mishum tzair lo gazrin, and in the case of pain, they did not make the gzeira. So that's what a woman is allowed to do in that kind of a case. Yeah?
Maybe we can discuss some other time, but this leads an opening. And the opening that I see as problematic, it has to do with intent. Mm-hmm. What was the intent of the woman? Was it to relieve or to get the milk?
Right.
So she knows what it is.
Right.
But the other people don't.
Right.
So then it becomes clear she has to waste it.
Right. Right.
However, we're not supposed to waste things.
Correct.
So let's not get into that discussion here.
Right.
But there could be a lot of discussion in terms of
right.
that direction.
Right. Yeah, 100%. In general, you're right. In general, we try not to waste. But obviously in certain situations, if you have to, we have certain halachas. You have to burn things and things like that. You know, you burn the chametz, right? Erev Pesach.
It's a very big area of intent.
Mm-hmm.
Intent
sure.
for yourself,
right?
And the arm. So if you're on a desert island, for example, and this thing comes up in Gemara Sukkos and other places, there may be different things you might do if you're alone by yourself and you're
right.
One of the
okay.
People.
Yeah. Yep. True. Okay. Now, the next topic, which doesn't involve humans, but and most of us, I imagine, are not farmers or dairy farmers, but let's say in Israel, for example, where you have a lot of Jewish dairy farmers, right? Or even in America, you may have some, right? So what do you do on Shabbos? You have all these cows. Cows need to be milked. Depending on the type of cow, there are some cows that have to be milked, you know, constantly, every day, and things like that. So what do you do about Shabbos, right? You can't milk on Shabbos. Acholev, that was the first source. The Gemara says that acholev is chayv mishum afarix. So how does a dairy farmer go about milking on Shabbos? So the easiest way to get around it is to ask a non-Jew. And the Shulchan Aruch says clearly in source number 6, Mutar lomer le'inu Yehudi lachlov behemto b'Shabbos, that a person is allowed to ask a non-Jew to milk their cow on Shabbos, mishum tzar balei chayim. And again, the reason is tzar balei chayim, right?
Before Shabbos, or ask him
even on Shabbos you can ask him, because since it's tzar balei chayim, so you're allowed to ask the goy to do it on Shabbos. Shacholof mitzar, because if the animal gets too full of milk, it's going to be in pain. V'acholof aser bo bayom, you can't use the milk that day. Right? You can't use the milk that day, but it's not usher. You know, you can store it and everything as long as the non-Jew is doing it. It's okay. So you're allowed to ask a non-Jew because of Tzar Bali Chaim to do this malacha for you. Very interesting.
Most of the modern dairy farms today, the milking is done.
Okay, good. We'll get there. Yeah, right, by machine.
By machine.
Right, 100%. But it wasn't like that, you know, 50 years ago. Right. So recently, you're right. Recently, it's all being done by machine. But you know, in
the
contemporary times,
constantly on the cattle.
The cows are trained to walk into a certain stall.
Or the cows do it by themselves.
The cows walk in, the machine hooks itself up, because
it's automatic.
The cow has a thing on his horn with a little tag that the machine records which cow it is, because there's a problem.
Look at that,
they
huh?
Know exactly where
technology.
The everything is.
Probably the owner can control with his iPhone, you know, from his office. Anyway, let's go back 50, 100 years when these things weren't being done electronically. Very interesting Shiloh, when the new Yishuv came to Eretz Yisrael, right? And they started settling the land of Israel, you know, in recent times, they started settling the land of Israel. And all of the Jews, you know, many of the Jews were farmers, and the dairy farmers and things like that. And you have Jews who were producing milk, and they were stuck. And it wasn't so easy just to ask the non-Jews to do it, because first of all, the non-Jews weren't always friendly to the Jews, as we know, are not always friendly to the Jews. Sometimes they couldn't find enough, or whatever the case was, and you know, in the area there wasn't sufficient supply. So it was a little tricky. What do we do? It's not so simple to ask a non-Jew to milk our cows on Shabbos. And Rav Kook, right, the famous Rav Kook Zatzal, was asked this Shaila. Okay, and Rav Kook, we know, was an ardent Zionist, and he was a tremendous believer of building the land and settling the land. And Rav Kook was very machmir on this Shaila, very machmir. Okay, and he says, he writes in source number 7, he received a certain pamphlet from someone, and this Rav, who also wrote on this topic to a great extent, was really trying to find a heter to allow the Jews. You know, non-Jews is one thing. Shulchan Aruch already allows non-Jews. But to allow the Jews to somehow milk the cows on Shabbos. But he said, if you look at towards the end of the first line, Avalacharei kol zeh, and this is in the Shailos Tshuvos of Rav Kook, Orach Mishpat, Avalacharei kol zeh, kashem ma'od livnosi yisod l'heter. It's very difficult to find a heter for this. B'davar ha-muchzak v'omed al-pidas rov ha-rishonim she'ish b'zeh iser skile. He says, most Rishonim hold that you're milking a cow on Shabbos is an Issa d'oraisa. So it's very hard. If it's an Issa d'rabbanon, sometimes we can have all these factors that contribute to a heter. But in Issa d'oraisa, it's very hard to find a heter for this. E'ev shalanu l'hakel rosh b'davar u'lahatir iser Torah l'ruba d'rabbasa. He says, it's very difficult for us to just come along and be matir this Issa d'oraisa al-yidei Yisrael b'Shabbos, right? For a Jew to do it. For a goy is okay. He says, listen, it's bad enough. It's enough that I just turn my eyes away when I see the people who are doing it. They're milking straight onto the ground. So we just discussed, milking straight onto the ground is called holech li'ibur, right? And so in that case, he says that already, I'll turn my face and I won't protest. For the people who are doing that. It sounds like he's not so happy about that either, but even he says in that case, at least I won't protest about it. He says no real Rav would give a heter even for that, even for Holech Le'ibur. No real Rav would give a heter in this case. But already I'm going to turn my face. If I see people doing it, I'll turn the other direction. I'm not going to say anything, even though I don't believe in the heter. But I won't say anything. But now to extend that heter and to do it into a pail, to do it into a in a manner where the milk is not holich li'ibur, chas v'shalom to be matir such a thing. Va'akave, he says, I hope that everybody gets together and is strict with this and makes sure to preserve the holiness of Shabbos. You know, and he goes on and on about this, that he's very, very machmir, very stringent about this. And it wasn't so simple. Again, Rav Kook was beloved. But this psak was very hard for people. It was a very hard psak because it was very difficult for them to find non-Jews, and it was very, very challenging. The Chazon Ish, actually, believe it or not, was a little bit, would drop more mekel here, right? Generally speaking, we think of the Chazon Ish as a big machmir, right? He was machmir in Shi'urim, but he had a lot of other kulas. But here the Chazon Ish in source number 8 was a little bit more mekel, a drop. I mean, not so much more mekel, but a little bit. We write, "Bizman she'ena motzei ena Yehudi lachlof." He says, number one, you have to ask a non-Jew. That has to be your first resort. Let's say you can't find a non-Jew. Let's say you can't find a non-Jew to milk your cow on Shabbos. So then says the Chazon Ish, "Nire de'yesh lahakel lachlof lesoch kli ma'us." He says, then you could do it holech li'ibur. Right? Then you could do a li'ibur. You could do it into a disgusting pail, a dirty pail. The milk goes right in there. It's nullified. Nobody would drink that milk. Sha'cholav yelech li'ibur al ha'aretz or onto the ground. Dekol sholech li'ibur lav shem mefarek ala. That's not the derech mefarek. So, we don't just matir it just off the bat. But if you can't find a non-Jew, so the Chazon Ish does allow a person to milk, in a situation where it's holech li'ibur. Again, not his first choice. But he does allow it. Rav Kook wasn't even so excited about that. Rav Kook wrote about this, that a posek should never say such a thing. The Chazon Ish said it. The Chazon Ish knew how to learn and knew how to pask it. Right? Rav Kook was not so happy about this psak of the Chazon Ish, but nevertheless he said it. Now, obviously, as was discussed, now everything is being done electronically. And not only electronically, but in the frum farms, the dairy farmers who are frum and who are makbir on halacha, they even build in certain things that work ayidei grama. So they make it even better than just regular, electronics or setting it up on a timer or things like that. And this is obviously the ideal way to do it, and this is the way that most places do it nowadays, right? It's the Chazon Ish in source number 9. Already in his time, they were starting to do this. V'nira lefizeh demutu lehalbi shatzinur al dadei hapara Shesof tnumas hachashmal lavo al yidei psichas hashaon. So here, he didn't have, you know, in the times of the Chazon Ish, they didn't have these fancy stalls where the cow would just walk in and the machine just hooks itself up. That they didn't have. But the Chazon Ish writes, but you have a Shabbos clock, right? And they would put the timer, it was a, you know, some sort of an electronic device, and they would put it on a timer. And he said, the Chazon Ish says, you're allowed to hook up the machine to the cow before the timer, before the machine starts, and you know the timer is going to go off, and then the timer turns the machine on, and it milks the cow.
On Shabbos.
And then obviously the machine will do it by itself. He says that's a form of grama that's allowed. So the Chazon Ish already allowed that. And I think obviously nowadays with all the technology, we're even a few steps further than that. So pretty much we're okay. But it was a very interesting shaila in those times in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, for the last part of the shiur, let's move to squeezing clothing and rags and sponges and things like that. So we've discussed last week. We discussed fruit and vegetables and pressing them. This week, we discussed nursing and then milking cows and things like that. So now let's discuss schita bebegadim. If you turn to side two, so the Bir Halacha is a very important Bir Halacha here, where he outlines that there are really two different types of schita, two different problems, I should say, when it comes to schita, when it comes to squeezing out. Let's imagine squeezing out a beged. You know, you have a cloth. Squeezing out that cloth, there are two different types of problems. Okay, one of them is a little bit more applicable to us, but we'll read what he says about both. Writes the Bir Halacha, D'yei shnei inyanei schita. There are two problems and issues with regard to schita. Hainu, schita mimayim, if you're squeezing out water. So let's say you have, your shirt is soaked with water, and you want to wring out your shirt. So you wring out the shirt from the water that's in the shirt. Isuro mishum libun, velo mishum dash. He says that isser is an isser of libun, melabin. Melabin literally means to bleach something, to make something white, lavan. So melabin is to bleach something. And the way that clothes are cleaned is by getting them wet, right, to an extent. Obviously there's some soap involved, especially nowadays. But you get them wet and you squeeze out the water, and that helps to clean the clothing. So that's involved in the cleaning process. So therefore he says that malacha, if you squeeze out, if you wring out a shirt that's soaked with water, you violate the malacha of melabin. Okay, the malach of libun, of cleaning clothes. And again, this is a whole different shir about cleaning clothing. I'm not going to get into it right now, but that's just how it applies to schita. He says, v'lo mishum dash. He says, this is not a violation of dash. Dash is what we've been speaking about all along, right? Last week and this week, we've been speaking about the malach of dash. Why is this not dash? Ki amayim holchem li'ibud, as we discussed, because where does the water go? When you wring out your shirt, do you want the water? You're not drinking that water, right? It goes down the toilet. It goes down the drain. You don't want the water. Okay, so when you wring something out, the water goes li'ibud v'lo dami l'dash. The whole point of dash is that I want the thing that's inside. I want the kernel of wheat. I want the juice that comes out of the fruit. I want the milk, right? I want the thing that's coming out that I'm extracting. But here, the water that I'm extracting, I have no interest in. I just want the water out of the shirt. That's all. So he says that's not dash. That's malabit. However, let's say you have something soaked up with other types of liquid, right? Let's say you spill wine on the table, okay? And you soak it up with you don't have a towel. Let's forget about towels for a second. But let's say you have a shirt there, whatever. And you grab the shirt and you quickly soak up the wine so that it doesn't spill everywhere. And now you have wine in the shirt. And now you squeeze out. What happens now when I squeeze out the shirt? So is that also malabin? It's not malabin. So here ubishar mashkin hua hipuch mishum libun ein bum. He says it's not malabin. The ein malavnim bum, because nobody uses wine to clean clothes. You use water. Right? You don't use wine or orange juice or fruit juice or any other type of liquid to clean clothing. You lose water. You use water. Elisuruhu mishum dash. He says there the malacha is dash. Dumya the sochet zeisim vanovim, similar to the concept of pressing fruit. However, he says achdavka kishetzarich lemashkin anischa dumya the disha. But again, it's only if you want the liquid, right? If I want the liquid, that's like dash. So then I violate dash. V'alkein. So here he's talking about a case where you have a wine barrel and you're stopping up the wine barrel with some sort of a garment. You know, you're stopping up the wine barrel with some sort of a piece of cloth. You're stopping it up. So he writes, V'alkein hacha be'inyin zeh de'achavis hu shel yayin. If you have a barrel full of wine, isura hurak mishum dash. The whole iser is an iser of dash in that case, right? Well, you know, you have that garment, you have that piece of cloth. It's soaked with wine, so now you squeeze out that cloth. That's a problem of dash. And again, in that case, you probably do want the wine that's soaked up into that cloth, right? You want every drop of wine that you can get. Umemela kisha mashke hanischat holech leibur ein ze bichlal disha. But again, but if the liquid is going leibur, it's just being it's going down the drain. It's being destroyed. It's being nullified. So then there's no problem. However, very important, achdas hariva od kama b'siyato demikomakom asur midirabbanan. And we always have this catch thrown in very often when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, that even though when it's holech leibur, it's not asur midoraisa, but it's still asur midirabbanan. That even if I do disha, right, in a way where the mashke is holech leibur, it's still an issa derabbanan. So we learned that there are certain heterim for an issa derabbanan, right? You have, you can do it if like we said, if the woman is in pain, so you're allowed to do it. That's an issa derabbanan. If it's holech leibur, right, it's an issa derabbanan. But says the Bir Halacha, it is an issa derabbanan. So we can't do it, right? We can't use a rag. Let's say a rag on Shabbos. You want it. You have your table's all sticky. So you want to wet a rag, right? I'll take a rag, you know, a cloth, a piece of old undershirt, okay? And I'll stick it under the sink, and I'll wring it out, and then I'll wipe down the table. You can't do that on Shabbos. That's schita, right? Why? And especially in that case, because very often you do want the liquid that comes out of that rag. Because if, right, you want the liquid. You want the liquid to help clean the table. So that's a problem. And even if you don't want the liquid, it still could be an issa derabbanan. Right? Even if you don't want the liquid, it still could be an issa derabbanan. But in that kind of a case, you can't use a rag, let's say, to clean up a mess on Shabbos. Now, what about something like a sponge, okay? Or you have these brushes that are made with synthetic, strands, just, pieces of plastic that are just, wound together very tightly and things like that. So you're allowed to use those things on Shabbos. So it comes the Ketzos HaShulchan, which is Rav Chaim Noah, who's famous for his Shi'urim, but he also wrote a sefer all about Hilchos Shabbos, Ketzos HaShulchan, and he writes in source number 11, Ubizmanenu noagin lirchot kelim bechutei barzel asuyim kisfuk, steel wool, right? You have a piece. You have literally threads of barzel, right, of steel that are made into a sponge. It's steel wool. So he says nowadays people wash dishes with steel wool. Okay, so you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Ubishabbos nimnoin milirchot bahemishum uvdin dechol. So he says people don't do it because it's uvdin dechol. It's like a vachadeke thing. It's the way you do things during the week. So you avoid it on Shabbos. Ve'ulai, writes Rav Chaim Noah, ve'ulai gam ishum iser schita. He says, forget about Udin Dechol, it might be an iser schita also, right? You might violate schita. Hagam demistavra de'eno bolea, even though, right, it makes sense that this type of steel does not absorb, right? If I have a real sponge or I have a garment, so that absorbs the liquid. The liquid is, right, is sucked into the, is absorbed into the garment, into the piece of cloth. But here, if I have steel wool, the liquid does not get absorbed into the steel, obviously. Okay, so it's not bolea. Aval hare gam cyros enan bolin. But he says, if you think about it, Chazal talk about a case where you have a person whose hair gets wet on Shabbos. You have a woman who goes to the mikveh, or a man, let's say, goes to the mikveh on Shabbos, or you get drenched in the rain, or something like that, so your hair gets wet. So the Gemara talks about a person whose hair gets wet on Shabbos, that you can't wring out your hair on Shabbos. Because that's a violation of schita. You can't, you could pat it dry maybe. There are ways to do it. But you certainly can't wring out the liquid on Shabbos. That's a violation of schita. So he writes that hair doesn't absorb the liquid, the water. Vein schita besairos, minat Torah. And that's why, mida oraisa, there's no violation of schita. Mikomako midrabanan yesh schita besairos. He says, however, there is schita midrabanan. He says these things have schita midrabanan. You violate schita on a derabanan level, not on a doraisa level, but on a derabanan level. So what's he saying? Well, what Rav Chaim Noah is saying is that if the material that you're using is absorbent, that's going to be schita midoraisa. So if I take a rag, I take a cloth, I take an undershirt, and I wring it out, that's schita midoraisa. Right, assuming that you want the liquid and whatever the case might be. That's chita midoraisa. However, if I have something like hair, something like steel wool, okay, or even, something that has a synthetic sponge, right? The sponges nowadays, you buy in the supermarket are synthetic, okay? Toothbrush. What? Toothbrush is, right? Many posts can say toothbrush is an issue of chita. All these things, especially a toothbrush, where all the bristles are synthetic, but they're very tight, they're very close together, right? That they're wound into that tight little bunch. So there the problem is that the water, although it doesn't absorb into the material, but it gets caught in the material. Right? If you have a steel wool sponge or you have hair, the water is trapped between all the little components. So now if I take hair, or I take a sponge, or I take whatever the case might be, my steel wool, and I wring it, water's going to come out. Not because the steel absorbed the water, but because the water was trapped in the steel. Right? It was trapped in the steel wool. So because of that, he says, that's Shechita Midrabbana. So anything that's absorbent is a violation of Shechita Midoraisa. Anything that's not absorbent, but still water gets trapped in it, and when I squeeze it, the water is then released, that's a violation of Shechita Midrabbana. That's the definition of the Ketzos HaShulchan. So it's very important when we think about, you know, what we use on Shabbos, and again, whether you're talking about toothbrushes or you're talking about dishwashing brushes and things like that, you have to make sure. It's really very tricky. Because even if you have a brush, let's say you don't use this, I'm not using my sponge on Shabbos. You know, during the week I use a sponge. But on Shabbos I have a brush. But if the brush has bristles, which are made in a way that it's tightly woven together, and the water can get stuck in those bristles, and if you squeeze it, the water will come out, that's a problem of Shechita Midrabbanan. According to most opinions, the problem of Shechita Midrabbanan. So that's why they have these things now. They have other types of things where the water really doesn't get trapped. They make these, they look like synthetic sponges almost, where it's just pieces of nylon that are woven all together. And if you hold them under a stream of water, you'll see the water will run straight through them. That's always a good test to see if it's really trapping the water. They don't really trap water at all. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Like they're very loose types of nylon puffs. Exactly, the nylon puffs.
The metal one you can use?
Again, you have to test each one. It really all depends how tightly woven the things are. If I have two pieces of metal and I'm holding them like this, or, you know, three pieces of metal holding them like this, and water is obviously just running right through it, no water is getting trapped, that's not going to be Shechita. But if I take a piece of steel wool, right, where the water definitely can get trapped because they're so fine and they're all so interwoven that the water can get trapped, that is a problem. So it all really all depends on the thing. The way I would test it, take it during the week, and what you do is you just run it under the faucet. Right, and see what happens. If the water gets trapped inside and you see that, you know, not all the water is coming right out, then the water is getting trapped. That could be Shechita Midrabbanan. But if you see that the water is just running right through it, right, you know, like those nylon, mesh things, the water just runs right through those things. So they're very loose. They're very loose. The construction is very loose. So in that kind of a case, it wouldn't be a problem of Shechita. Yeah.
Okay, but in terms of the metal one, because it scratches it more, is that...
Oh, you're saying steel wool. You're saying using steel wool because of scratching. I mean, he writes already you should avoid using steel wool because it's uvdin dechol.
That same puff.
Right, I understand. A metal one. Right. Yeah, I don't know if I would use that. He writes that already could be, even if it's not Shechita, but he writes it could be a problem of uvdin dechol if you're using like a real good, cleaner puff or something like that. That could already be like, you know, that we don't do on Shabbos. You know, it might not be a malacha, but at least midrabbanan uvdin dechol, we try to avoid something like that. But in terms of Shechita, but that's what I would do. You know, those puffs, usually you buy those puffs in the supermarket for a dollar, whatever they cost. They're very cheap. You buy them for Shabbos, you see the water runs straight through them. If you squeeze them, barely anything comes out, because it doesn't really trap the water. Because they're still wet. If they're still wet and the soap will get, like, you know, mixed in, I mean, it's not going to be as good as a sponge. You'll see. You'll test it out. It's not as good as a sponge. You know, but that's why people don't use them regularly. But you can use it. Another trick I learned, my wife taught me this actually, another trick I learned is that if you take a plastic bag, okay, plastic shopping bag, and you roll it up into a ball, you can use that as a sponge on Shabbos also. Because again, there, you're not squeezing in, no water is getting trapped, you know, in the bag. So that also could be, just an etza that you can use that. I never heard of it. And then when I got married, my wife showed it to me, and it works. You know, you roll it up into a bowl, you put some soap on it, and you can,
Brushes.
Yeah. Okay, so you figure it out to what you do on Shabbos. But just keep in mind, because some people think as long as it's not a sponge, it's okay. That's not so simple. That's not really the case, because if you have something where the water can get trapped, even if it's not a sponge, right, even if it's just bristles, but the bristles are very tightly packed, and the water can get trapped in there, it really could be a problem.
For the squeezing.
Yeah, well, when you wash the dishes, you're squeezing. Yeah,
right. So it's a squeezing.
Yeah, well, of course it's a squeezing, right?
The coast has water in it.
Oh, yeah, of course, right? It's a squeezing, of course. Okay. Very interesting. There's kind of an ancillary problem here that you're not allowed to saturate something, right? Can I take a rag and just get it wet? I'm not going to squeeze it, right? But I'm just going to get it saturated. Get it wet. Can I do that on Shabbos? So the problem is, what?
It's like washing.
But let's say I'm not squeezing it out. I'm just soaking it.
Doesn't matter. You wash it.
Okay.
That's the procedure to wash.
It's part of the procedure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you just stick your shirt in water, it's not gonna, you know, and you just leave it there. That's not washing. You haven't washed it. It's part of the process. Yeah. Okay. It may pop. Okay. So if it's dirty, that might be a problem of malabin, maybe. But let's say it's clean. Let's say it's a clean shirt. You know, it doesn't need to be washed. It just took it out of the laundry, and now I want to saturate. I want to soak it on Shabbos. So writes the Rama in source number 12. You can't do it. Why? Ubeget she'en alav lichluch. You could put a little bit of water on it, velo merubin, but you can't soak it. You can't saturate it. Why? Shema yischot. Because once something is saturated, it's soaked, we're nervous. Maybe if you pick it up, you're going to come to squeeze it. You know, very often you pick up something soaking wet, you know, you just automatically, you give it a little squeeze because you don't want it to be dripping everywhere, whatever the case is. You give it a little squeeze. So writes the Rama, that's why you can't saturate a beged. Even if it's clean, no issue of malabe. Right? You're not washing it. It's not a problem of that. But we're worried that you're going to squeeze it. Not only that, but he says you can't even touch them. The Rama writes in source number 13, begadim ashruyim b'mayim. Okay, if you have clothing that's soaking in water, asur l'nagvam samuch la'esh. You can't take them out on Shabbos of the water and put them next to the fire to dry them. Why? Because you get into bishul issues. If it's hot, it's going to cook the water. You know, all sorts of different issues. Writes the Rama. Not only that, v'asu l'taltalam, you can't even move them on Shabbos. Why? Shema yavo lidei schita, because again, you're going to pick up that garment. What do? Your knee-jerk reaction is that you give it a little squeeze to get some of the water out. V'hu shemakbid al meimav, but he said it's only if you want the water out of that thing. But if you don't really care if the thing is saturated with water, it's not something, your shirt you care about. You know, your skirt you care about. Your pants you care about. But if it's something like a towel, where you don't really care if the towel's wet. If the towel's wet, you're just going to throw it in the laundry to take another towel. It's not something that you care about, that you care whether it's wet or not. Towels get wet. That's what they're made for. So in that kind of a case, it's okay. He says also, if you're going in a place where you're going to get sopping wet, you really shouldn't do that lechatchila. Obviously, if it's raining and you're walking outside, you get drenched. You know, but you shouldn't go playing outside specifically in the rain, you know, and you know you're going to get soaked. I once had that. I remember a few years ago, we were walking, we ate out Friday night, not here in a different community, ate out Friday night, and it was, you know, teeming rain when we left. And it was only a few, we had to walk, I don't know, 5 blocks or something like that, and we walked and we were literally like down to the bone, you know, you like just drenched everything. Every article of clothing that was on us was just completely and utterly drenched. So if you're walking, you have to get home. But, you know, you shouldn't, like, go outside in the rain and play on Shabbos if you know your clothing is going to get sopping wet. Because, again, the same issue. You might come to wring it out. I'm going to skip the next two sources for now, 14 and 15. But if you have a spill on Shabbos, right? Let's say you have a big spill. You know, somebody knocks over a cup of orange juice all over the table or a pitcher of water falls. You know, a big spill. So again, if you take a towel and you just mop it up, you just put it there and let it soak up, that's okay. Why? Because you don't care if the towel's wet. It's not something you care about. You're not going to wring out the towel because you don't really care about the water. Towels are supposed to get wet. That's what they're there for. And therefore, you don't really care. But you can't just really take clothing. Obviously, you know, you wouldn't normally do this. But let's say you have some, a pile of dirty clothing nearby, you know, and you just want to take that and mop up. You figure, you know, I don't have towels. I'm just going to grab this and mop it up. That could be a bigger problem if they really get saturated. Because clothing, you really do want, you don't want the clothing to be really wet. You might come to squeeze it out. But usually, it's not so, you know, this is not such a common case. And normally, you just grab a towel, you soak it up. Just be careful that when you move the towel that you're not squeezing it. Just, you know, pick it up, you know, daintily with your two fingers or something and drop it into somewhere, you know, the washing machine or something. Just leave it there, or a pail. Just make sure that you don't squeeze it on Shabbos. And that brings us in the last 5 minutes or so, that brings us really to the question of baby wipes, as I wrote here, kederach, the shalos uchuvos. They all write, you know, baby wipes, so they spell it in different ways. But the question is, can a person use baby wipes on Shabbos? Now, baby wipes...
Some of them say you could, you know, on the...
Oh, I don't know, I have Pampers baby wipes. They don't talk about Shabbos.
It says... What the Shabbos, Mutala Shabbos.
Really, really. Okay. If you get the Frum brands, you know, okay. The Frum brands. That's like sometimes you get these Frum brands of food. It says the bracha on it. You know, it's great. Birchaso Shehakal. You know, I love that. It tells you what bracha to make.
Mazonos bread,
yeah, you know, yeah, you have to know. If you can trust all of it, it's not so simple. But let's assume you're using Pampers wipes or Huggies wipes or Target wipes or whatever, and it doesn't say on the package whether you can use them on Shabbos or not.
So then what's the story with wipes? So there is a big machlokas, a big contemporary machlokas regarding baby wipes. And the question is why? So obviously, number one, it's not going to be an issue of malabin. That's number one, right? Rav Moshe says that explicitly. He wasn't talking about baby wipes, but he's talking about paper or anything like that that gets wet. If you look in source number 16, Rav Moshe writes, "Shein less with the loshayach malabin b'niyar haholich liibud." He says anything that you're throwing out, right? You're throwing out the paper. You're throwing out the baby wipes. There's no malabin on that. Nobody wants to clean their baby wipes, right? You just you wipe up the mess and then you throw the baby wipes out. You're not always wringing out the baby wipes and saving them, right? So that's not an issue. There's certainly no malabin here. So that's number one. That was what we mentioned. One of the issues of schita could be malabin. That's not an issue here. Now, what about dush, right? What about mefarik? What we've been talking about, schita, regular schita. You know, you're squeezing it and the liquid is coming out. So it's a very interesting shaila. And many poskim talk about this. One of them is the Minchas Yitzchak in source number 17, and basically he writes that he's machmir about it. He's machmir, and what's his logic to be machmir? Because he says, after all, the baby wipes are absorbent, right? They do absorb the liquid, whatever soapy liquid that they saturate the baby wipes with. They are absorbent, and you do want some of the liquid to come out. Right, when you're wiping up the mess, when you're wiping up the baby, you want some of that liquid to come out because it's going to help you clean the baby. That's the whole point. Or else you could just use tissues, right? The whole point in the baby wipes is that they are wet and you want some of that liquid to come out. So in that kind of a case, really, when you press that baby wipe against the baby, right, some of the liquid is coming out of the wipe. You want it to come out of the wipe because you want to use that liquid to clean the baby. So he says, therefore, I think it should be usur. In that case, I think that it should be a problem. Many, many poskim also say that baby wipes are problematic. There are some poskim who allow it. Some call it. Some say that they consider it holech liibud. They consider it holech liibud because again, since you're throwing out the wipe, so maybe the whole thing is holech liibud. I'm just running out of time. Not everybody's so happy about that because they say, you know, the wipe might be holech liibud. You're throwing out the wipe, but you want the liquid. The liquid's not holech liibud. The liquid is being used right away. Right, you're using the liquid. As soon as you wipe the child, you're using the liquid. You want the liquid. It's of course it's usable. So some say that, you know, it's a whole question: is the liquid coming out? Is that considered holy chalibur or not? You know. So that's one issue. Hold on. Yeah. So let me just finish, and then afterwards when we let everybody go, we'll have time for a couple questions. So that's one reason why some people are matirit. Some say it's a malacha shen etzrich legufa, and it's not so clear that that's the case. I saw in one sefer that he wanted to say that that some claim that the majority of the liquid that you're using is not absorbed into the wipe. The majority of the liquid is really on the surface of the wipe. Okay? So if the majority of the liquid that you're using is really on the surface of the wipe, and you don't really have to squeeze that much, you know, it's basically the wipe is wet, and there's liquid on the surface, so you're kind of just wiping it, so then you're not really involved in schita. And if a little bit comes out, you know, okay, we're not going to be so concerned about that, but most of the liquid that you're using is really on the surface. But then he writes that he spoke to some of the engineers at some of these companies, and it's not so simple that that's the case. And if you know, if you open up a package of baby wipes, you'll see, or certainly a box of baby wipes, the ones at the bottom are really saturated. So some people specifically they make sure to use only the really wet ones on Shabbos. Because if you use the really wet ones, it could be better because you're not really squeezing, you're just using whatever's on the surface. So it's not so clear. I personally am machmir, my rov was machmir about it, so I don't use baby wipes. There are ways, hygienic ways, to clean babies on Shabbos even without wipes. They didn't have wipes, you know, for all the world history, and they did clean babies. So there are ways to do it. You have to be a little bit creative sometimes. But there are poskim who do allow baby wipes on Shabbos based on some of the logic, some of the svaras that we mentioned. So if you see someone using it, don't yell at them. If you see someone not using it, don't yell at them. Because there are poskim really on both sides of the fence. I'm not sure what the rove is, what the majority is. I know, you know, there are serious issues, not so clear, but there are certainly poskim who are matir. Thank you all for coming, and Mr. Hashem, next week we'll continue with the next topic. If you have any questions, then I can take them.